Today's gospel is found in chapter 9 of Matthew, beginning with verse 35, continuing to chapter 10, verse 8. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Now, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's Father's Day, and I want to tell you a story about the autumn of my maturity. My dad, it was during the energy crisis of the late 70s, and my dad got a great idea that we would heat our home with wood entirely. We lived in Montana, and he had a logging truck of firewood, basically long logs, delivered to our property. And I decided not to go out for football or any of those fall sports that year. And so he said, "Well, I got a project for you. I will cut the logs, the rounds," and then he works on the railroad as an engineer. When I'm off on the road, then you can split all the logs that I've cut and stack them. Now, he showed me how to split a log with a splitting a wedge as well as an axe, and it was hard. It took me a while to get the hang of that, but over the course of basically splitting an entire logging truck full of wood, I did it, and it felt pretty darn good. You know, my mom took pictures of me putting all these, this wheelbarrow load of logs stacked like this high and carrying them so I'd make as few trips as possible. And it was the autumn of my maturity, not just learning how to split wood, but realizing I could accomplish something. And it was a gift that my dad gave me, a gift of hard work, responsibility, and doing something meaningful. What's a father to do? I'm thankful for my dad. He died in 2013, but I'm thankful for the lessons he taught me. And I was looking at a Bible commentary. It's like, what does the Bible say about what a father's role is in the lives of their kids? Well, it says this. There's like five things that it lists. First, it's to teach. And we learn in Deuteronomy that fathers and mothers are to teach their children the word and to talk about their home and to share God's word with their family. So it says, so when they lie down and when they rise, that they would have the word of God on their tongues. Fathers are to train. It says in Proverbs to train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. So it's to teach them the right ways of acting, the right ways of living, to train. It says in 2 Corinthians 12 that fathers are to provide for their families. It shouldn't be the kids providing for their parents. It's the parents or the dads providing for their families and helping them live. Also to nurture. I love this verse in Ephesians 6. that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we're to, as fathers, to encourage and to not exasperate our kids, but to nurture them and love them. Finally, to control. A father is to kind of manage his own household and not have everyone going off in their own direction. That's an important part of a role of a father. And to love, obviously, like in 1 Corinthians 13, to love our kids. So as fathers, and actually all of us, we're called to, by Christ, to follow him, and we're called to create places of light. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is team light. I love what Joshua said in the Old Testament, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and that is totally the charge to fathers. I received a newsletter from a place called Aid to Women, and it's some places in Phoenix that help with abortion counseling and things like that. It's a Catholic organization. And they sent statistics of why a father's role in their kid's life is so important. It's kind of like on the other side of that, when a father is not present, this is what the statistics have to say. That 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescents in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison are from fatherless homes. And 71% of pregnant teenagers are from fatherless homes. So despite what the culture may say about how bad men can be, there's some really good reasons that we need fathers in our lives. There's real value to being a father. So as fathers and as followers of Christ, we're called to create places of light. We are Team Light. We're continuing our series today called Out of the Salt Shaker Into the World, as we look at the verses from Matthew where Jesus shares something that's quite interesting but a little bit hard to understand. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." He also says, "You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." When Jesus was creating these thoughts, as it shows in The Chosen, he was explaining to Matthew what it meant. And I love what he says. He says, "Well, salt enhances the flavor of things. I want my followers to renew the world and be part of its redemption." I talked about that 2 weeks ago. What is salt? What does it mean to be salt of the earth? He says, "Salt can be mixed with honey and rubbed on the skin for maladies. I want my people to participate in the healing of the world, not its destruction." Team healing. I spoke about that last week. And then finally, salt preserves meat from corruption. It slows its decay. I want my followers to be people who hold back the evil of the world. That's Team Light, to hold back the evil in the world. We were reflecting on our dads, and Chris remembered a time that her and her sister went to a community dance. And her mother went in, and her dad went in to retrieve them after the dance and bring them home. But, of course, as her mom would always do, is she'd find someone to talk to and start talking to another person. And pretty soon, there was a long conversation going on, and Chris's dad was getting a little nervous because there were boys around, right? So he took his two daughters to the car, and he told them to, "You stay here in the car and lock the doors because there are boys out there." Well, that's kind of holding back the evil of the world a little bit. You know, the world, the state of the world, there's a lot of troubling things happening in our world today. This whole gender dysphoria that's happening all around us. There's an amazing and a really good, powerful documentary by Matt Walsh called What is a Woman? I would commend it to you because there is some real evil things happening through this this gender dysphoria, what's happening in our worlds. It should trouble us, and it does. And I was also, as I was researching about this movie that we plan to go to, The Sound of Freedom, did you know that Mesa is a hub for human trafficking? And that it is one of the top places in America where human trafficking and smuggling is happening. That's troubling. Our world is troubled. In Fountain Hills, you know, only 20% of the people who live here actually go to a church ever. That's a lot of people that have never either are uninterested or have never met Christ. That's troubling. When Jesus saw the crowds, it says in Matthew that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Our attitude to the troubles of the world are to have compassion and at the same time to hold back the evil in the world. Well, where do we begin with something like that? Well, I think we need to begin with ourselves first, our very lives. I have this image here of a water expanding on the ripples of a pond, that a pebble gets dropped and the ripples spread out from there. That's really what it is to be a light. It starts with you. It starts with creating a place of light inside of you, and that happens when Christ is inside of us, because he says, you are the light of the world. A song by We the Kingdom called Evidence, the refrain is, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. As we start to see God working in us, we start to see that we are light, people of light. A pebble of God's goodness and love and forgiveness drops into our life, and that helps us create a place of light. Scripture points to that, and I think that's what the message that we shared with the kids about the segula, the treasured possession, which it says in Exodus that God's people are his treasured possession, who he holds close to his heart. To understand that we aren't just random, cast-off people, but we are created in the image of God, that we are his own special possession. It doesn't just go for the Jewish people, because in Christ, we become grafted into that promise. And so his feeling, his admiration and affection for the Jewish people is the same as his affection for us, his people. David realized that he was a valuable possession. Solomon thought that in building the temple, he would, you know, come to find that they had treasured belongings. But that's not the whole thing. It's not what we own that makes us treasured. It's who we are. And we are his treasured possessions, as Scripture points out. When we have a right understanding of ourselves, that we are his treasured possession, that's where the light begins, and it goes out from there. I've been doing a devotional where the leader of the devotion is doing a three-week pilgrimage in Scotland. And he's starting at the island of Iona, where missionaries first came to the English channel, or the English nation, English island, and then evangelized the country from there. And there was a man named Aidan of Liddesfarne, who was an Irish monk and a missionary, credited with converting these Anglo-Saxons to Christianity in Northumbria. He founded a monastic cathedral on the island of Liddesfarne, known as the Liddesfarne Priory, and he served as its first bishop. He traveled ceaselessly throughout the countryside, spreading the gospel to both the Anglo-Saxon nobility and the socially disenfranchised of the country, including women and children and slaves. He was also called to be a missionary to the kingdom of Northumbria in what's present-day Scotland. And the story is amazing how this unfolds. In 635, the kingdom of Northumbria was hard ground of paganism and had a firm grasp there, but they had a new king, Oswald. And Oswald was a Christian. He was baptized and he was educated in Iona, in the first monastery and missionary outpost in England. Oswald dispatched a messenger to the mission to his spiritual home requesting help with the urgent task of converting his kingdom and educating them in Christianity. And they responded by sending a monk named Corman. And Corman failed miserably. It was a disaster. He came back, returned to Iona with the bleak report that the Northumbrians were hard-hearted and hopeless. That was his report. When Adian heard this, he became indignant, and he said these words, "Perhaps, my brother, if you had spoken with more gentleness and the love of Christ, giving them the gospel to nourish them like milk is given to a tiny baby, then you would have won them and remained among them." It was quickly agreed by the monastery to send Adian to the country of Northumbria as Corman's successor. That was in 635 that the Irish monk was sent to a Scottish island to win the English kingdom with gentleness and the love of Christ. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't it true that how we interact with others will affect their receptivity to the message? Proverbs 15 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We're called to create places of light. We're team light. It starts with us and moves out from us to affect the world. That's affirmed in what we do here in baptism. In baptism, we are claimed as a child of God. And it says in the hymnal and the liturgy we often use for baptism, these words, "God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," after someone is baptized, "the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon the person baptized, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the joy in your presence." That sounds like light, doesn't it? A lot of light given to his people, his children, his sons and daughters. In our church, we baptize kids of all ages, even little babies. And then we have a time in a person's life called the affirmation of baptism or confirmation. And if you grew up in a Lutheran church or another church like that where they baptized infants, you probably did something similar. When you profess your faith in Christ as one who is affirming their baptism, you're basically saying that what happened in your baptism is true for me. I didn't just believe it or didn't just happen to me because my parents brought me to be baptized, but I now receive it for myself in faith. And so this prayer is often said when there is a confirmation. And as they make profession of their faith, these are what's asked of those who are baptized. "You've made a public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people? To hear his word and share in his supper? To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?" And without hesitation, those respond, say, "I will," and I ask God to help me. It's a lot of saying yes to, isn't it? Wow. Share the word, be faithful, proclaim the good news, serve everyone, strive for justice and peace. But that's what it means to be a person of light, a person who shares the light of Christ and it spreads to the world. So I was thinking about how can we apply this today? How could this be something we can even do even today when you go home? I thought about a service that I've done with a few people. In fact, Paul and Gail Appledorn had me come over and do this in their home. But it's not just making yourself a person of light, but to create around you light, which would be, first of all, your home. To ask the light of Christ to fill every room and every part of your house. And there's this beautiful, if you look inside of this, of your bulletin today, there is a beautiful prayer called the Blessing of a Dwelling. And I published this for you. It's taken from the occasional service book that Lutheran pastors often have. But it's not a service that everyone would always do. But I found this to be a huge blessing as we have moved into different homes and gone through each room of our home to bless those spaces. And so I've done this with people, but I'm giving this to you today because you don't need to have a pastor do it with you. You could invite your friends or your family over. If you'd like me to come over, I'd be happy to walk through your home with you and bless the rooms of your house. But it's a wonderful way of bringing Christ's light, not only just into your life, but into your living environment. As you think of it, it goes through each room of your house. You'd obviously do the ones that apply to where you live. But you start off with everyone that's coming together. It can be kind of a social gathering. There's parts to read, and I would encourage you to have like more than one person read a part, so one person could read the prayers, someone else could read the scripture that goes with each part of the room, and you can just decide who's going to read what. But it goes, you start off with saying, "Peace into this house and all who enter here." A reading from the Proverbs, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it's established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." And I guess as we think about the Segula today, the most rare and beautiful treasure that comes into our home are the people who live there, right? And then you light a candle, and you can carry that candle with you as you walk through your home. And then this reading, which is the reading from today's teaching. "You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." And then you can have someone pray, say the prayer. Or you could all read together, "O God, as this candle gives light to this home, so enable those who dwell here to be light in the world through Christ our Lord." And then you make your way to each room in the house. So you go into the kitchen, you go into the living space, you go to your bedrooms, to the guest rooms, to every other space that you have in your home, and you have a prayer and a scripture that would be read. And at the end of that, you come back to the place you started, usually the living room, say the Lord's Prayer, and be blessed. That's just a wonderful way to bring the light of Christ, not only into your life, but into your living environment. And I just think it's like the pebbles. It drops one in, and it spreads to your next area of influence, and it spreads out from there to your neighborhood, to the people in your lives. That's what it means to be Team Light. It starts with us and moves out into the world. We are called to create places of light. We are Team Light. And when we have the attitude that to the troubles of the world is to have compassion on those troubles, but at the same time hold back the evil that threatens to devour us, that's what it means to be Team Light. I want to close today with the prayer that is said for a person affirming their faith in Christ. It's usually said at a confirmation or the affirmation of baptism. But I'd like you to hear this for yourself. And even though I can't physically reach out and touch all of you right now or put my hands on your shoulder, just imagine the hand of the Lord placing his hand gently on you as I say this prayer. So please close your eyes and bow your head and receive this good word from the Lord. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in and say your name. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Jeff the gift of your Holy Spirit. Deepen his or her faith. Guide him or her. Guide his life. Empower him or her in their serving. Give him her patience in suffering and bring him to everlasting life. I'll pray this again and I'll just, I guess, say it for myself using the masculine pronouns, but use the one that's appropriate for you. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Jeff the gift of your Holy Spirit. Deepen his faith, guide his life, empower him in his serving. Give him patience in suffering and bring him to everlasting life. Lord Jesus, thank you for inspiring our faith and stirring up in us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, deepen our faith, guide our lives, empower our serving, give us patience in suffering, and bring us to live with you forever. We are Team Light. Help the light that is in our lives be spread to our homes, to our people, our families, to our neighborhoods, to our community. Lord, make the light of Christ spread like ripples to a pond to affect every corner of this globe. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.